Hello, you're listening to Sarah Archer in episode 287 of the Speaking Club podcast. I want to open this show with a quote from author and business mogul Robert Kiyosaki. The size of your success is measured by the strength of your desire, the size of your dream, and how you handle disappointment along the way. I started this podcast for two reasons. Because I want to help people recognize the power of stories and humor in speaking, and because I believe it's your message that counts, not the number of ums and ahs you use. There are some organizations that want to create robot speakers. They want you to sacrifice your personality in order to speak perfectly. But I want to let you know that you can be yourself and a sensational speaker. So, if you want to be a speaker that connects and engages authentically through stories, a speaker that gives value as well as a great performance, then welcome home. Hey, welcome to the show. I have some questions for you. How can you get the edge as a professional speaker? What can you do to make yourself more marketable? Well, today on the show, my guest Elliot Kay will be sharing valuable insights on how to achieve just that through the Speaker Awards. Elliot is co-founder of the Speaker Awards. He's also a speaking coach and a professional speaker. And about 3 years ago, he saw a huge gap for speakers and he had a big idea to fill it. That's when the Speaker Awards were born. And over those 3 years, they've gone from strength to strength. Elliot has gathered the great and the good from the speaking industry, and you're going to be getting insights and behind the scenes info that will help you raise your profile whether you enter the awards or not. We're going to be talking about the awards, the judges, the categories and the criteria. You're going to get tips for applying and winning, and also for having more impact with your speaking in general. So strap in and listen, as this episode is going to give you so much value to move your speaking career forward. Exciting, hey? Let's get on with the interview. Welcome to the Speaking Club, Elliot Kay.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and I was saying to you that when you came into the Zoom room, I was chuckling because you have this hashtag, Be More Giraffe. Before we get into the meat and potatoes, tell me about that.
Well, you know, I self-identify as a giraffe. No, I'm kidding. I'm obviously not. Basically, what happened was during lockdown, we did some research with our community, with my database. Like, what is it you want? How can we support you? And lots of people came back with, I want to stand out. I want to be heard. I want to be seen. And I had this giraffe that my wife brought back from Rwanda. And it just happened to be on my desk. And I turned to my marketing girl and was like, I think people want to be more giraffe. And she's like, that's it. That's our marketing messaging. That's what we should do. That's what we should focus on. So I did. We focused on hashtag Be More Giraffe, and that became my thing. And I even wrote the book, How to Stand Out, Speak and Be More Giraffe, which in itself is giraffe because it's a sketchbook versus a book you read. Obviously, nice. There's words in it, but not a lot of them. So people love it. They're like, oh my God, I just read that within 20 minutes. And I understand it. It's great. And I can just open up and there's a great quote. So that's how Be More Giraffe came about. And I'm actually moving away from that a bit now because I think in terms of the brand, my positioning, who I want to work with and attract, it's kind of moved away from the Be More Giraffe, which was fun.
Yeah.
And nice. And people still kind of know me as, oh, you're the Be More Giraffe guy. But that's where that came from.
Excellent. Well, in a sense, one of the ways that people can be more giraffe and be sort of a great speaker is to get themselves entered into the Speaker Awards, because that's a great way for you to stand out. So right. I'm intrigued about that. So can you tell me, first of all, how and why the Speaker Awards came about?
Yeah, so, you know, we're coming into our third year now. So for a long time, I thought, you know, why is there no public awarding body for speakers? There's lots of communities that do their awards and they have their internal awards, and that's great. But, you know, what about a public body? What about a group of peers that, you know, recognize other people's great work? And a part of that was born because if we also, again, sorry to bring the P word back in, but when we dial back to the pandemic, a lot of speakers like myself, and I don't know about yourself, but really were at the forefront of sharing information, supporting communities. Often we did it at no cost because we really wanted to elevate people, you know, be the light in a dark kind of time. And I felt that, you know, speaking can often be a very unrewarding, in the sense that you know you pop up, you do, people take, and it's not, you don't get that recognition. Now, no pity party here, because that's the choice speakers make, that's the path we choose. But I just wouldn't it be great to actually be able to award, to recognize, for people to have a public body so they can let the light be shone on them for a change. And that's where the speaker awards really came from, and that's why I started it. And it's funny, because I turned to, you know, my friends, my business people, my business partners, they've learned to fear. I had an idea. They've learned to really fear that sentence, and they just go, oh no, what now? And so I turned to Simone, who's one of the co-founders, and I was like, Simone, I have an idea. I went, uh-oh. And I told him about it, and he goes, you know what? I like it. It's a great idea, but I'm not doing it unless we have some really solid partners.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, started to pitch the idea to people.
Excellent. Well, it's great that you have done. And you say it's in its third year now.
Yeah.
If people listen to the show and they're thinking, I wonder if I should enter, what would you say? Who is it for?
Okay. So first of all, when I think of speakers, I also think of speakers at various levels. So if you're starting out, we've got a category for you. If you're like, look, I know it will help open doors, it will help elevate me as a speaker, we've got the new a category, right? So that's for you. If you're speaking for less than 3 years, as long as you've got footage, absolutely. Now, if you're already established and you're out there and you're speaking, there's a variety of categories you can be. The only premise is you're professional, i.e. you've been paid or you're making money from speaking. That's the key. If it's something you do because it's a nice to have, look, we're not the speaking police. We're not going to hunt you down, go, wait a minute, this is a hobby, we'll put you in the police jail, right? In the speaking jail. We're not going to do that. But it is pretty much for anyone who stands on stage for the right reasons and supports communities, industries. You know, we've got a tech category for people to speak about AI and technology and software and things like that. We've got a story category, for people who are great storytellers. Got a virtual category. There's pretty much most things are covered as a speaker. We've got the Live Speaker Award. And then, of course, for those who do enter and manage to get shortlisted, there's also the Speaker of the Year Award. And this year, we're also accrediting a Lifetime Achievement Award, which is something we decide that isn't something you can apply for.
Yeah.
So the answer is, to anyone listening to this, if you're a speaker and you're on stage and you stand for something and you want to get recognition for it, then I would do it. We've got a TEDx category as well, you know, so we do cover a lot.
Yeah, there seems like there's a really wide range there. And I guess one question people might have is, what if I qualify for more than one category? What should I do? Should I apply for all of them, or should I just focus on one?
So we've limited it to two categories, cool. Right? So I would choose the two that you've got the best shot of winning, right? You can't, look, if one video works for two categories, you can use one video. Otherwise, I'd use the video that's appropriate for the category. But the reason we limited it, it just makes people choose and be more focused with their application versus going, oh, I might as well do a third one because I can.
Yeah.
And, you know, yourself being a judge on that, Sarah, you know, we want to make sure your time is used effectively and you're not viewing so many applications, for example, that should never have been there.
Yeah.
So by making it two, already the questions we're getting, it makes people streamline their thoughts and to be very careful what they select. So cool. Only two.
Excellent. And in terms of the application, that's via a form and a video submission. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's on a platform called Zealous. And basically it's all done online. So you submit a link to the video as well as the video. And then, you put your speaker bio on there. You put the why you should win, you know, just making a case for yourself. We do ask for link, you know, social handles. That's in case the judges want to look beyond what they're seeing, get a feel for the person. It's not a must. It's not a necessity.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You know, if you have everything ready, your speaker bio, why you should win, your videos, it will take you literally 10 minutes. You can even download everything that's needed first before applying, get it ready, and then it's done. Every now and then technology throws up some glitches, but overall it's really simple. That's why we chose Zealous. That's why we use Zealous, because very easy, very user friendly.
Excellent. And what I was going to ask you was, when is the deadline for applications? When do people need to get their applications in?
So we're just under 2.5 weeks, 21st cool. of April, right? So that is, well, it depends when people listen. It's soon. So let's get going. Yes, there's an admin fee before, you know, I think, because I think people need to know that. And the admin fee is because there's so much that goes on in the background, you know, that we do. It's not, you know, a case of, this isn't for us a database building activity, because I know there's lots of free awards out there. This is a prestige. This stands for something. And also what we find is, if you're committed to it, paying an admin fee, people get it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the odd person going, just, I don't pay for my awards. Okay, that's fair. That's up to you. There is an admin fee, and it helps us just make sure everything happens smoothly. It helps us run the awards. It helps a lot. Because believe you me, we don't make anything from these awards.
Well, so, you've got the platform to start off with. The website.
Platform, we've got the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got people, you know, later on assets are made. When you're shortlisted, we exhibit you proudly. Congratulations for the shortlisting and all these things. So there's a lot that goes on.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks. And thanks for being transparent about that. So if you want to do it, it's an investment, you know, in the end of the day, it's an investment. There's a lot of reward if you do well. And so it's an investment in the same ways you'd invest in, you know, developing yourself in other ways. Cool. Now, you did mention I'm a judge for the awards, which
yes,
I'm looking
are.
Excited and looking forward to taking part. How did you go about selecting the judges? Because that might be something people are interested
in. Yeah. So when I select judges, I look at someone that's involved in the industry, right? So it isn't like, oh, you're my mate, would you like to be a judge? I look at people who are actively involved. They're either training, they're either coaches, or of course, speakers themselves. And this year, with it being the third year, we also wanted it to have extra prestige. So we felt people that are truly kind of on a certain level as well. And then I approached them. So, you know, you and I connected, and I was like, wait a minute, I think you'll be a great judge in our original conversation. I know we had a bit of silence, but then I circled back to you. It was like, would you like to be, you know, ambassador this year? Maria Franzoni is massively established in the speaking world. Mm. She's great. She's opened many doors. And we looked at bureaus, we looked at agents, because also what would add prestige to the awards versus it just being a bunch of judges? Actually, people who are in the industry.
Yeah.
So we've got, you know, 1, 2, 3, I think about 5 different bureaus and speaker agents who are going to be reviewing the footage as well. So to us, it's people that are hands-on, they're in the industry, either they book speakers or they're great speakers, or they're great trainers. That's how we went about, you know, choosing them. And we were very meticulous, because I have been approached. Oh, I think I'd make a great judge, and I would check them out. I'm like, well, actually, you're clearly very good at what you do, but I don't feel you're a fit for the awards. And that's just the way it goes.
Cool. Brilliant. And one of the judging criteria is stage presence.
Yes.
And this is quite an interesting thing, because it's a little nebulous and you might have a different definition than me. But how would you define that?
Well, just on that note, for anyone listening, that's why we have 3 judges per category, because there'll be some level of consistency. Even if you and I judge it differently, if they have a presence, then it will be marked quite well. You know, when I talk about stage presence, I talk about when I'm watching a video of a speaker, that they grab my attention, they hold my attention. You can see the audience engaged. There's a force and an energy around them as a speaker, you know, and that doesn't mean being loud, right? A lot of people think, oh, if I'm loud, I've got presence, you know, because I've watched plenty of really soft spoken. They just hold you because they're energetically, they really grab the room. And that comes through video. You can really see and feel that if you've seen some of the great talks, some of the great speeches, they're mesmerizing. You don't, you know, I'm not saying go and compare yourself now to someone like that. What I'm saying is we can see your presence on stage. You can see the audience engage. And if you're doing the virtual category or the storytelling category, that you might record that to camera, which you can do, that we can really feel, see, and get to when we watch that recording.
Yeah, I think that's a really good definition. And I often make this distinction between, you know, energy, the energy that you need as a speaker is, it's not like you're all waving your arms about, and it's there's an intensity and a presence. And I think in terms of just in terms of presence there, like you owning the stage as well.
Right.
You look comfortable. The audience feels comfortable, and you're right that you are there captivating them. And that's kind of what I think we're sort of on the same page.
Absolutely.
On that one. Cool. Okay. Another judging criteria.
Go for it. Hit me.
And I just wanted to pick out a few because I thought people might be interested in these
particular
ones. Another one is marketability. And I was curious about this because, you know, you've probably come across this in with your clients as well. There's a lot of people that are speaking about the same thing.
Yes,
and
yes.
you could argue that those things are quite marketable, which is why people are speaking about them. And we're seeing more people speak about AI and more people speak about neurodiversity as things tend to become popular. So if someone is speaking in a competitive niche, how do you think they would go about making themselves more marketable for speaker bookers?
It's a great question. And I think it goes back to sort of what we would call, you know, your speaker toolkit or your assets. So when it comes to the awards, basically that was introduced because of Maria Franzoni, who last year was a judge. And she's like, there's one question I really wanted to tick, but I couldn't, is how marketable they are.
Yeah.
And so we introduced that this year. So the way you become, you know, you stand above the rest, you're being more giraffe, is definitely through the content and its originality. So yes, a lot of people are saying the same things, but finding a different way to deliver it, using visuals, using props, you know, using something that gets you to stand out in a different way versus just conveying more information, making sure your showreel, your video footage is up to date, that it's recorded cleanly, that it's easy to understand, right? That your website reflects that. So all those bits are what makes you more marketable. Within the context of the speaker awards, the judges will look at it and go, is this person marketable? Do they come across in a way that I can package and sell? Have they presented it in a way that if I was booking someone, I was going to pay someone, I would take them seriously, I would consider them? And that's what marketability is looking at.
So it's interesting. So it's partly about content in terms, would someone be interested to buy a speaker in to talk about this? And the other part of it is, can I sell you, the person, as someone that is worth this amount of money to be paid for you?
Right. Or even if you had that money, would you pay for them?
Yeah, exactly.
It's even on you. So it's almost three.
Yeah, cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I think hopefully that gives people some food for thought. Now, the other category I was curious about was, not in terms of criteria, but actual category, was the speaker video reel category. And I guess in some senses, we've actually just answered this, but how important do you think production value is in terms of that speaker reel to help people get booked to speak?
For the showreel category, it's everything, right? Your production is so important versus the other ones where we're not looking at how well it's cropped or, you know, front end, back end, but the showreel, the production element is important. It's got to be clear, crisp. Transitions need to be smooth. It needs to look professional. You know, the way to think about it is, would you submit that to get you booked as a speaker? Right. And it needs to be that level. So if you look at the guy that won last year, Alistair, who's actually a judge this year, his show was crystal clear. His showreel was clean. It was crisp. The transition, it was original, right? Had a great flow, had a narrative to it, really exhibited him as a speaker, which is why he won. Right. And actually he did it himself. He's like, I had the time and he sat and he, but what he cleverly did, he didn't create the showreel he liked to watch. He created a showreel that he knew others would want to book him for. And that's why he won. So again, the showreel, and I find you might see this, but a lot of speakers do this, is they create the showreel that they enjoy watching. It makes them feel good versus the showreel that's really going to sell them, right? Yeah. It's really exhibiting their skill set, their speaker set, their presence, right? And in a good production. And, it, you know, someone I work with very closely, they work with showreels, and they're like, I can tell the level of speaker by how much they're willing to pay for their showreel. They tend to, you know, if you want a 10K, if you want to get paid 10K, your showreel has to look 10K. If you want 5K, it's got to look 5K. And a lot of people negate, they shortcut showreels. So the production value is really important when it comes to that, especially that category. And also this year we've introduced the Booker's Choice Award. So these are people who are agents or bureaus who will look at people submitting their stuff. And they're going to look, would I put them on my books? Would I sell this person? So again, the production value of that category is so important as well.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. It's always a conundrum for people. And I think, you know, in some senses, having something is better than having nothing. But as soon as you can, you know, you get more footage, you get more gigs, you can afford to up level and iterate that speaker reel, the better. You know, that's the thing. But if you're, you know, if you are just starting out, maybe these awards aren't for you, but you want to start speaking and you want to start getting paid, certainly having something is better than having nothing, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you are starting out, you can go for the newcomer category, but I wouldn't go for the showreel. I wouldn't go
No.
You know, unless you're a master producer, then go for
it. Well, that's that potentially, Cool. Okay. So we've talked a lot about different categories and the criteria. Based on your experience of previous awards and previous winners, have you got some tips for people who want to enter?
Yes, I do. So first of all, I am reclused from the process. So I do not get involved. I've got to say that up front. I do not get involved in any of the judging. But here's some tips I can say. You know, when you submit, put your best stuff to the front, okay? If you want the judges to spend the time watching the whole video, make sure you start with the good stuff. Don't, you know, don't wait for it to build up, you know, go in with the good stuff up front and then the judges will watch it, because the judges will decide very quickly if they're going to spend 3 to 5 minutes watching. If it's not good within the first 30 seconds, probably not going to watch the whole thing, right? Just be aware of that. Put your best stuff to the front. Make sure it's easy for the judges to watch, okay? Clean picture, good sound. If you're top and tailing it, or you're putting stuff together, just make sure it's smooth and there's a clear narrative so it doesn't take away from your impact and your message. You know, look at things like, you know, they don't know you. So what you put in your bio and why you should win, think of the little things like grammar, think of the little things like spelling, right? And really sell yourself as to why you should win. Only go for the category. I would say if you're going to go for two, go for the two that you're most likely to win, that you're most likely to stand out. And those will be my key tips. And the other thing is enjoy the process. Who you're going to end up, regardless of winning or not, as a speaker, who you become as a result of this will be worthwhile. Mm. You know, Grace, one of the winners from last year, basically her mentor said, oh, you should enter the awards. She flippantly entered the awards. But the process of going through it, how she had to position herself, how she had to think of what she was presenting, already shifted her as a speaker. And then she won and she couldn't believe it. And now she's taking speaking really seriously. She's now getting paid. So I think also what it does for you as a speaker will also be worthwhile. So enjoy the process. Winning, you know, when I entered the Book Awards a few years ago, first year I didn't win. And I didn't even get shortlisted. Nothing. I was really annoyed. Second year, I was shortlisted. And I was like over the moon just to be shortlisted. Considering I'm dyslexic, I can't really read or write. But I still read 6 books just to prove a point, right? So,
yeah.
And then so Be More Giraffe was actually shortlisted at the Business Book Awards. And I didn't win, which I was disappointed, admittedly so. But because of that, then I got invited to be a judge, and I'm a judge again this year. So you also don't know what doors it will open.
Yeah.
But you've got to be in the process to even give yourself a chance.
Yeah, you've got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, literally got to be in it to win it. But, you know, I think who you become and what it does for you as a person, as a speaker, is worthwhile. The eyes that get to see you, the exposure you get to judges that you will never have contact with, especially if you join us. We got the Speaker Summit in the day and the awards. Like, the network there is it's just worthwhile. So that would be my tips. Good, clean stuff. Put your best stuff to the front. Make sure, you know, you show up in excellence. Enjoy the process. Have fun with it. And then the winning is, of course, a great bonus.
Brilliant. Cool. And then I wanted to speak to you generally as a speaking coach, as a as a fellow speaking coach. Maybe the speaker awards aside, perhaps, what do you think are the three most important areas to focus on to develop your speaking so that maybe in the future you can enter the speaker awards?
So I think the three most important areas, obviously, number one, be a fantastic speaker. Work on your speaking, right? Work on your delivery, work on your storytelling, work on your content. Make sure, you know, the content you're sharing is of high value. So that's the one thing. So that's the delivery. The other thing, of course, is we talked about this. Look at your marketing, right? Develop your marketing. So having a page on your website that says speaker isn't as important as having your own speaker website. So the whole toolkit, you've got to develop that. So speaker website, one pager, showreel, and then have the content on social media that reflects you as a speaker. So that's the second aspect I would think about. And then the last thing I want to talk about, which I don't know if is often mentioned, is your ability to deal with rejection. You've got to work on that. And you've got to have that ability to persevere and keep going. And those would be the three most important parts. If you can't deal with rejection and have the ability to keep going regardless, then there's no, you'll just quit. So there's no point doing the other two. But if you've got that ability to deal with rejection, I do mean reject. Look, I've had this year, I had loads of bookings. They were like, sorry, we're canceling them. We don't have the budget that we thought we had. I'm like, oh, okay. Right. So you need to be able to deal with that, to persevere, to keep going. You've got to invest in your speaking, your marketability, which we've talked about. You've got to be a bloody good speaker. If you want to command those high fees or just any fees, you've got to be a great speaker. So those are my three for you.
Definitely. I love that last one. I had the same thing, booked to speak this year, dates in the diary, and, you know, they pulled because, you know, they're struggling financially. So it's, you know, I think that's a great point. I think also just in terms of the competition, I used to, you know, I'm a stand-up comic, and you know, everyone wants to be a stand-up comic, so it means that there's a lot of competition and it can be soul destroying. But speaking is the same now. Right. There's a lot of people that want to become a speaker, and so you've got to invest and develop yourself and, you know, all of those other bits and pieces if it's something that you want to be taken seriously for those bookings and so on. So yeah, so I think being focused, being resilient and wanting it is got to be, you know, part of it too. But they're really good. Thank you, Elliot.
You're welcome.
Okay, now you mentioned in passing the Speaker Summit, and that's connected to the awards. I wanted if you could share a bit more about what that is and also a bit more about why people should go.
Yeah, so the Speaker Summit is a separate event, although they're kind of like brother and sister. I'm not sure which one's the brother, which one's the sister. But the summit is our day. So, you know, we do the Speaker Awards in the evening where people get the awards. And then the Speaker Summit is where people come and we're really pulling the curtain back about the speaking industry. So in the room, we'll have some of the judges. We'll have some of the sponsors as well. And we have five speakers, including, no, we've got more, maybe six. See, I can't remember. Including Maria Franzoni, who I've talked about, and also Ricky, who founded the PSA. They are winning the Lifetime Achievement Award, so they are speaking as well. Mm-hmm. But then it's myself, Simone Lavelda, and Lucy from Rethink Press. And it's all about how to really make the most of the speaking industry, where it's going, how you can truly stand out as a speaker. We're going to have Ask the Expert sessions as well, where people go to various tables and they find out information. So, and that will rotate. So it's a real day spent to elevate your speaking. So the tagline is elevating speakers, ironically, but we're pulling it back. That's why we've got bureaus in the room. That's why we've got agents in the room. That's why we've got, you know, because potentially I'm bringing someone who specializes in corporate booking. So I'm just in conversations with her. So it's really about how do we best equip you, the attendee, as a speaker to truly have a flourishing career. And that's what the day is about. They are completely not connected, although they are. If you attend the summit, does not give you a ticket to the evening. They are very different. They're two different tickets.
Cool.
But yeah, that's the summit. So if you just wanted to spend the day elevating your speaking, you can come to the Speaker Summit. And if you wanted to spend your time watching awards, winning awards, then there's the evening. So that's the summit. And I'm very excited about that. So
cool. It's already... And the summit's on the 5th of July, isn't it?
Yeah, they're both on the 5th of July. So one's in the day, one's in the... We do have a VIP day, which is the day before, which is only open for 10 people. We've already sold 6 spaces. And that's where we have really focused time with select people. They have an hour with Maria Franzoni. They have an hour with Kay Freeman, who's an agent, and then half an hour with Paul Green, who's the sponsor, about how you create more engagement when you speak. And then, yeah, the next day is the summit, and then the evening's the awards. So very tiring time for the likes of me and the team.
I bet. So we'll put details of both how to enter the Speaker Awards, so the website for the Speaker Awards, and also for the summit as well, in the show notes, so that you can go and check those out. And if you enter the Speaker Awards, why not go to both and make a, you know, make a big day of it? So, yeah, that sounds really good. So I've got some standard questions that I ask all my guests, Elliot, and I'd like to ask you them as well. First of all, what's the best thing that speaking has done for you?
Oh, that's a good one. Best thing speaking's done for me. First of all, it's made me improve my communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's given me greater understanding of how to read people, funnily enough.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's opened doors for me, which otherwise might not have. And I've made money from it. But, you know, in that order, I would say.
Brilliant. Okay. And just, you know, because we're here, how did you get, because your background wasn't speaking to start off with, was it? How did you shift from, where were you? And then how did you shift into speaking coaching?
Yeah. So I guess I'll go to the most appropriate time. So I was a corporate trainer. I was working for some really big brands, and I wanted to be a better trainer, so I started to study coaching. And then, of course, as part of studying coaching, I was invited to a seminar, and I went to the seminar, 5,000 people, big room. It wasn't Tony Robbins. And I stood there and I went, I can do that. It was one of those moments. And I even turned to some people around and go, we could do this. And they're like, yeah, we can do this. Yeah, high five. And then after that, I really pursued the path. So I enrolled on a speaker training course, and I became one of their trainers. So for 5 years, I was their assistant trainer. I would run their seminars with them. But I set up Speaker Express, which back then known as Pony Express, with my co-founder back in 2011. And that's kind of carried on. And that's how I ended up doing it. And then eventually in 2018, I left my other businesses to focus full time on Speaker Express.
Wow.
That's how I ended up doing it. Before that, yeah, I had a real mixed career. At 21, I decided I was going to be a professional dancer, and I pursued that. I did that for a while, got injured, then fleeted around all these other things, landed in corporate training, and here we are. So, yeah, I mean, coaching's a tiny aspect. You know, the Speaker Awards, I kind of run a bunch of brands that support speakers along their journey. So it's a whole thing. Also, thanks to the pandemic, because I realized very quickly that I own a very small piece of the pie by being a speaker trainer or coach.
Yeah.
And I needed to own more of the pie. So I've got lots of little brands now that do lots of little things. The idea is they'll grow. But that's how I ended up doing what I'm doing.
Excellent. And the stage drew you back, you know, as a dancer, it eventually sort of attracted you back to do it in a different way. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, next question. Have you had one of those gigs where you're like, oh my goodness, it was shocking, I just want to put that into the back of my memory? Has that happened to you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have. I mean, nothing's as shocking as when I went on Britain's Got Talent and got booed.
Tell me about that.
So, I mean, that was interesting. When was that? 2009. So it's when I was becoming, you know, it must have been 2009, because I was coaching and I wanted to make an impact. And I thought, what better way to, you know, get mass marketing, but go on Britain's Got Talent. So I did an arrow break on Britain's Got Talent. And, you know,
you did what?
An arrow break. You know, when you put an arrow on your neck and you walk into it and it snaps.
Oh my goodness. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's a kind of like a fear thing. People do it, you know, to overcome fear. And it's a part of your neck that can't be pierced with a certain arrow that you use. I mean, it's an arrow, but it doesn't have the force to pierce it. Anyway, so I did
that. Don't try this at home, people. I'm just going to put that little warning there.
Yes. and make sure you have the right goggles. And it's a very specific arrow. It's still an arrow. If you got shot, it would go through you. But walking, it snaps.
Yeah.
And it's a wooden one, not a plastic one. Anyway. Right. So, you know, I ran on stage and I was like, hello, Britain's Got Talent. And I was like, woo. And then the moment I started talking about you can overcome your fear, boo, 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 like properly booed. And then my friend came on to do the arrow break. They were in quiet. Once I did the break, they were boo again. Obviously, I didn't make it through. I think that's definitely one of the cornerstones of a terrible gig.
Yeah, it's hard.
But it made me up my game. It made me really think, where do I, you know, do I want to grab the right speaking opportunities? Do I, you know, made me rethink my whole approach to things. Wasn't a pleasant experience. Except when I left, one of the kids, there was a young group of teenagers, and they were like, oh, arrow guy, because I was hoping to walk out subtly, but I walked up with the crowds. And they're like, arrow guy. I thought, oh, God, they're going to beat me up now. And they're like, thank you. You really inspired me. So I guess in a way, one person was inspired, out of 4,000 that were booing me. But besides that, I think, you know, there's been times where I've really bombed or it really bombed. But the other time I can think about is I was speaking at one of the London kind of member clubs. And there were 60 odd business owners in the room. And my whole talk at the time was tailored to people wanting to launch businesses. And I just remember going, okay, who here runs a business, expecting few hands, and all the hands went up. And I was like, oh gosh, my content's not right. In that moment, thinking my content's not quite right for them. So I kept going anyway. And so I didn't quite bomb, but it was a big mismatch. And I knew afterwards, even the guy booked me, he's like, I didn't get it quite. This wasn't the right content. I was like, yeah, you're right. So there's been a couple of them. And actually, last one now we're talking about it. I remember I showed up for kind of this youth event and they were like, we've booked you for an hour. I was like, it was half an hour on the phone. Like, oh yeah, one of the other speakers canceled.
Oh, no.
And at the time, now I can do it. But at the time, I'd had like a talk prepared for half an hour. So to try and extend it was just, it didn't work. And I just remember doing the talk, finishing it. And then the woman was like, you've got another half an hour. I was like, I don't have enough content. And they then suddenly had this hole that wasn't filled. All these people were like, oh, what do we do now? Obviously, I wasn't invited back, nor did I ask to go back. So I think I consider that as bombing. But now if, you know, someone goes half an hour, you've got an hour instead, I can extend it easily. I've got much greater repertoire. But that was very much at the beginning of my journey.
Cool. Shame you didn't have your arrow with you.
I know. That would have done well. Yes. I know. I don't carry them around, you know, so just so you're aware. I haven't done an arrow break for a very long time. So, yeah.
I tell you, with the comics used to get approached to do Britain's Got Talent. And most of the comics that I know and myself, we just, it's such a hard gig, especially for comics. Like it just doesn't work for that. Well, and one or two have been all right, but it's a hard gig. So I don't think it was you. I think it was them. Right.
Definitely. It was the wrong audience, wrong act, wrong everything. I'm surprised I made it through, because you know you do a pre-audition before you go on stage, and I'm surprised her name was Lily. I'm surprised she put me through. Like, but I guess she knew I might be good booing value.
That's the sort of nasty side of it. But right, next question. Besides your own, what's the book that's had most impact on your life and why?
It's a good question. I think it's How They Failed. I think that's what it's called. It's actually, ironically, it's in the other room because I was showing it to someone. Or How They Fell, I think it is. And it's a book on how all these big companies failed. And that I found really inspiring to read, not because they failed, because they broke it down, what they could have done differently. So that's definitely one of the books that has had a huge impact on me as well.
Why was that?
I just think the way it's written is easy to follow. And also, was maybe it's How the Mighty Fell? No, that's a different book. I'll have to send you the name.
Yeah, no worries. We'll find it.
And it's just, I really like how it's written. I like the lessons. I like that there were big businesses that crumbled because they didn't do certain very simple things. I just really like it. It wasn't just a all about success and all about this is so good, this is so great. That's definitely one. And the other one I can think of is Conversations with God.
Oh, yes. We've
Yes.
got, I'm looking at them over there, the three
Yeah.
volumes.
So the first one is
Oh,
the best. I think
yeah,
the other two
definitely.
go a bit doolally. But that's definitely, that had a massive influence in terms of how I could have a relationship with God and, you know, outside of the religious spectrum. And I really liked reading it, and the answers made a lot of sense. And it gave a kind of a very neutral ground for someone to connect with the higher powers that be, stuff like that. So that's another one I'd say, huge
It's
impact.
a great book. Have you read Outwitting the Devil?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you will probably like that. It's by Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow
Oh, I
Rich.
did start to listen to it. Yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting book, and it's kind of one of those that you would traditionally find most people have written read Conversations with God have looked at Outwitting the Devil. But if, for anyone listening, they're a bit out there. But Napoleon Hill wrote one of the best business books ever called Think and Grow Rich,
Yeah.
which is about the power of masterminds, amongst other things, which are hidden in that book for you to find. But yeah, it's a great book. But thank you for sharing. We'll put the Conversations with God and how they felt or failed. We'll find that and put that in the show notes
I will
too.
let you know. Normally it
Smashing.
sits there, but I was showing it to someone, so it's another room.
No worries, no worries. Okay, penultimate question. What's the best bit of business advice you've had and why?
No. The way I would tend to answer this, I don't know if it's business advice or life advice, but it's more how I kind of evaluate things, and it goes for everything. So it's, if you died, right, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're seeing the person you could have been, that to me is hell. But if you look in the mirror and you see the person you became and therefore had an impact, then that's heaven. So who are you going to see when you look in the mirror, right? And that to me is the best kind of metaphor advice that one of my mentors years ago gave me. And so it's always like, when you look in the mirror, who are you going to see? Are you going to see the person you could have been? Or are you going to see the person you became? And that is the best evaluating tool I can think of, because whenever I'm making a decision, whenever I'm doing something, I think of that mirror and I think, am I going to see what I could have done, could have been, or I'm going to see who I became? But coming from a place of truth as well. So that's kind of the best advice I ever got. Because he, when we were talking about this, it was in the context of building a business, it was in the context of making money, it was in the context of having an impact. And he said, well, when you die and you look in the mirror, who are you going to see? How did you show up? It's all those kind of things. So to me, that's the most profound and
Cool.
impactful piece of advice I've ever got.
So, and is that around, taking that leap of faith, taking the risk, taking action or standing still? Was that in relation to that sort of decision?
It's also, yeah, but it was also in the relation of how you choose to do things in
Right.
life. You know, you
Yeah.
can accelerate things, cut corners, probably make a lot more money, but who are you going to become as a result of that?
Nice.
Because this, I think there's importance to stand still sometimes. I think we need to
Yeah.
stand still. I mean, I live by the sea, so I often go and stand by the sea, right? It was more about who I wanted to become as a person, who runs businesses, who does that. That's what
I'm
that,
with you.
when I look at this context, even like, you know, because of course there's quicker ways, you know, I could go sell drugs, right, and make loads of money, or not. But who would I need to become to do that? And that's really what that does. That's what that
That
was.
makes sense. It's about values and alignment and all of that stuff. Excellent. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. If you could have one mentor, and they can be alive or dead, fictional or non-fictional, who would you choose and why?
Oh, that's a tough one. I can only have one.
Well, if there's, we can negotiate. If there's two, how many? You can't have a football team like that, probably two.
Oh, okay. So if I can have a mentor, dead or alive, fictional or not, who would I go for? I would love Optimus Prime to be my mentor,
I like it.
and Yoda. if I can have a second, in that order. I think Optimus and I can have some really deep conversation about leadership, about the greatness of, you know, a race and what we need to do to survive. And I think Optimus Prime and I would be really good friends.
Yeah. Also multi-purposing. That would be a good conversation with
him. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not sure I'd put him above Yoda though. But that's your.
I know it's
your...
a tough call.
It is.
I'm going to go with my gut. You know, Yoda is legendary,
good.
But you know, I've had this thing for the, you know, for Transformers. So I think I'll go with Optimus.
Fantastic. Well, we haven't had either of those. Yes. I think we've had Yoda before either, so that's fantastic. And I think they're good choices. Brilliant. Well, listen, thank you so much for setting up the Speaker Awards, you know, for having the idea and having the courage to do something like this, you know, and for, you know, giving your time to it. So I think it's going to be as it gets older as well, it's going to become a great thing for speakers to do. And really appreciate you coming and sharing all about that and for setting it up. We're going to put the links into Speaker Awards and the summit. Where else can people find out more about you, Elliot, what you do? Where's the best place for them to go?
I think the best place to go is LinkedIn.
Okay.
If you can put my profile, but it's Elliot K, spelled correctly, E-L-L-I-O-T and then K-A-Y. And I share loads of tips, advice, bits. So that's the best place, really. I mean, for the awards, there's an Instagram, Speaker Awards, if they want to follow that as well. But me personally, LinkedIn is the place really to kind of read, find, stalk, follow, reach out.
Excellent. And we'll put that link in the show notes as well. Brilliant. Is there anything else that you feel that you need to say in order to have this interview be complete, Elliot?
Just thank you to you for hosting me and for being a judge on the awards and sharing your heart, your community, your people with us. And just that's it, really. That's what completes is gratitude to you.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for asking me. I'm really looking forward to it all. So appreciate that.
Smashing, we'll see when the judge is closing, if you're still saying that.
Best of luck with it all, Elliot. And I will see you again soon.
Thank you, Sarah.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? If you've been paid to speak, or you make your living through speaking for client acquisition, then do have a look at the Speaker Awards. And the link is in the show notes, as I said, and maybe I'll get to be judging your entry. Who knows? I'm not sure that sounds right. Anyway, you know what I mean. I'll be reviewing your application. There you go. So if you're at the start of your speaking journey, then I hope that this has inspired you and given you something to aim for in the future. And of course, if you want some help to become a great speaker and get paid to speak, then do get in touch with me, or indeed Elliot. And you can follow us both on LinkedIn, and do let Elliot know if he's inspired you today. He will love that. Thank you once again for choosing to listen to The Speaking Club. And if you have got value from the show and you're a regular listener, and if you're not a regular listener, subscribe. But if you've got value from the show, then do leave an honest rating or review over at ratethispodcast.com/TSC or wherever you're listening. Maybe you're listening in a podcast app or whatever. They'll give you a place that you can review the show or leave a rating for the show in that app. Well, I'll catch you next time. But until then, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Don't forget to go out, grab your life by the nuts, and if you qualify, enter the speaking awards. Take care. I'll catch you next time. It's a nightmare. You're an expert with so much to say, but now that you've been booked to speak, you're struggling to know exactly what to talk about. You want a talk that engages the audience and wins you new clients without you losing your personality or anyone feeling pitched to. But what happens when you sit down to create that talk is that you end up staring at a blank page for ages, or worse, surrounded by hundreds of sticky notes with content that you could include. With so much material, you just don't know where to start or finish. Don't worry. Because many experts like you face exactly the same challenge, And that's why I created the Blank Page to Stage Guide. In just 50 minutes, this breakthrough resource is going to help you identify the big idea of your message, make it relatable for the audience that you're speaking to, and convey it all in a way that gets the audience inspired and on board with your idea. And it works even if you have tons of material or your subject feels less than exciting. If you want to cut through swathes of content and get a talk that you're excited to share, your audience loves, and wins you new clients, then grab your Blank Page to Stage Guide from saraharcher.co.uk/newguide-tsc. Oh, I forgot to say, it's completely free. Enjoy!